Welcome back, everyone. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're joined for a very special interview by Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar, retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret. He served our country honorably for 25 years. After he was retired, just to, again, refresh our recollection of where the conversation was, he was recruited by UG Solutions to provide security at least 4 aid distribution posts in Gaza. UG Solutions is a private security contractor hired by what is known as the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. It's basically a joint U.S.-Israeli-backed, a government-backed humanitarian aid initiative. It was created because Israel blockaded the UN and other NGOs from continuing to distribute aid in Gaza. Someone needed to. Now, what Lieutenant Aguilar has described is that previously, prior to the blockade, there were about 400 locations within Gaza distributing aid. That was reduced to 4, further reduced to 2, resulting in Hunger Games-like circumstances as people raced for foodstuffs that were simply insufficient in number to cover the literal thousands of people that had potentially waited days in line for whatever aid they were able to foot race to and grab before others. This created an environment of chaos. And according to Mr. Aguilar's whistleblower complaint, UG Solutions employees opened live ammunition fire and potentially killed a man on May 29th of this year. I want to talk about that day and what you witnessed. Lieutenant Aguilar, if you can take us through the events as you saw them unfolding, and then we'll play folks the audio from that day.
Sure. So the 29th of May, I was at secure distribution site number 4, which of the 4 sites was the northernmost, located in central Gaza. The site is accessed by primarily civilians coming from the Berish encampment. Mind you, all of central Gaza had been destroyed and leveled to the ground. These people had nowhere to live. They were living in half-encamped shelters in an area that, with no running water and no electricity, they were coming to these sites to get food, which is their only source of food. On that particular day, it was only the third distribution that we had done in the entire mission, so to speak. We'd started on the 27th of May, distributed on the 27th, the 28th. This was our third iteration of distribution. Once distribution was complete with regards to the food being gone, as it was on many distribution, once the food is gone, you still have a matriculation of people coming onto the site because they line up in droves. And as they come to the site and the food's gone, they have to process through the site in order to leave the site to go back where they came. They can't just turn around on the road that they're on or they'll get shot at by the IDF. So as the group was leaving, the last bit of the group of people that was leaving had been there at the end, and they were picking up food from the ground, picking up scraps of food. There were no boxes. And mind you, we're not providing these civilians with meals. We're providing them with boxes of the raw ingredients to which they can make a meal. Raw ingredients such as rice, noodles, flour that require water to prepare, and we're not providing them any water whatsoever. So we're sending them away essentially empty-handed with food that they can't even cook. This group of Palestinians that was walking away from the site consisted of the elderly and children. And some of the children had stopped and asked, you know, when will there be more food? When will there be more food? And the UG Solutions contractors were shooing them away and throwing stun grenades and tear gas to get them to continue to move away from the site. This individual, a United States citizen, a U.S. contractor from UG Solutions, standing on the berm that faces south from this site, opened fire on this crowd of individuals to shoo them away, to keep them going the south away from the site. At this point, they were about 160 meters away from the site. They weren't near the site. Their backs were turned to us. They were walking away. They weren't armed. They weren't posing a threat. They were doing nothing at all wrong. Their crime, they came to get food. That's what their crime was in the eyes of this individual. And as he opened fire on them, you can hear in the video a large sustained round of gunfire. That's 30 rounds coming out of the magazine of an automatic assault rifle. 30 rounds coming out of an assault rifle is an entire magazine of ammunition. That isn't an accident. That isn't a warning shot. That is intentional. That is intentionally shooting live ammunition at a group of civilians. And as he's firing, you can hear in the video, he proclaims with a woohoo. And another contractor who's standing level with me on the ground, looking out the gate that I'm looking at, where I see the individual fall to the ground, he says, "I think you got one." What he's referring to is a human being. A human being is a, "you got one." And then the other individual who's standing on the berm who is firing calls out with, "Hell yeah, boy." That is murder. That's not self-defense. That's not operating within rules of engagement or a standard operating procedure. That is murder. Shooting at and endangering and killing an unarmed civilian non-combatant who simply came to a site to get food, and you're then shooting at them out of sport or shooting at them to get them to shoo them away like they're animals. That is murder. It is dehumanizing. And the day that that happened and I brought that to the attention of the leadership with video, it was disregarded as, well, you don't know if the individual that fell because he was shot. He may have tripped. Maybe he was tired and he never got up. Mind you, the person that adjudicated this, the person that adjudicated or from his level that someone was shot or not and whether or not anything should be done about it, is the national president of the Infidels Motorcycle Club. Just keep that in mind. That's how that day went down. The IDF didn't shoot at them. It wasn't Hamas. It wasn't a gang. It was an American contractor opening fire and shooting at an unarmed civilian who he and his family had come to the site to get food. That was his crime.
Folks, let's take a listen to what happened that day.
I think you hit one.
I want to read a statement that GHF provided to PBS News when you were interviewed by them. It says, quote, "No Gazan civilians have been shot by UG Solutions personnel, period. The contractor you're referring to was encouraging IDF fire and was immediately disciplined and terminated for unprofessional conduct." Another affidavit submitted by UG says this, quote, "I did not witness any UG personnel firing warning shots in the direction of civilians. Regarding Tony Aguilar's allegations, I believe they are inaccurate and do not align with UG Solutions' strict policies and training on the use of force." A further comment from a UG spokesman, excuse me, this was from a GHF spokesman, said this, quote, "UG Solutions operates under a tiered escalation of force policy that includes warning shots when absolutely necessary to protect civilians, maintain order, and prevent violence during critical aid distributions." Let's listen again to what happened that day. You tell me what you hear.
I think you hit one. Hell yeah, boy!
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting. And
it is disgusting.
The GHF's lies to obfuscate and cover that up is even more disgusting. That is not the IDF shooting. The IDF have categorically denied that they were shooting. In the first place, the weapon that's being fired does not sound like the weapons that the IDF fire. What's being fired is a fully automatic assault rifle. The IDF aren't near or on the site. The Israeli Defense Forces are not on our sites. They are on the outside of the sites. In this particular location, they were not near the site during that time. They were outside to the south, but further away. That gunfire that you hear that's being recorded off of my phone is coming within feet from where I am standing. And I am not off the site. I'm on the site. What you hear of the "hell yeah, boy," and then "I think you got one," and then woohoo, those aren't the IDF. Those are Americans. There were no stringent escalation of force procedures or protocols. There were none at all. The individual that filled out the affidavit stating that he didn't see that happen that day was the individual on the site who was in charge, responsible for what happened on the site. His name is Michael Rice, another member of the Infidels Motorcycle Club, who, if that were true, he would also then be implicit, complicit in what happened. Of course he is going to lie. Notice that on these affidavits that GHF provided, they don't provide any names. So throughout this entire process, GHF refuses to provide names, refuses to take accountability, and deny everything when it's clearly shown on video, and it's clearly shown in audio and in pictures. And there are clear witness testimony from the Palestinians that are being shot at, from me who saw it happen, from the doctors at the hospitals in the vicinity of these sites that have mass casualty incidents every time we do a distribution, who receive patients with gunshot wounds, not Israeli Defense Force bullets, with bullets that the Americans are using. Green tip, 5.56 automatic weapons fire bullets. The IDF don't use those. It is the Americans that shot at that man and killed that man. The IDF in the coming days have even come out and have themselves testified that they are ordered to shoot at civilians. And the UG Solutions personnel shooting at the civilians, there is no way to explain that away. And I would further add, if this individual that was shooting didn't do anything wrong, why did GHF fire him? If I were that individual and I didn't do anything wrong and GHF fired me, I would be filing a wrongful termination suit. Why did they fire him? They fired him because what he did was wrong. And they didn't fire him that day or the next day or the day after. They didn't fire him until that story hit from the Associated Press in early July. I know he wasn't fired because when I left Israel on the 26th of June, he was still there. So they are lying. They have a motive to lie. They have an inherent reason to lie, because if the truth is known, they, with others that committed these crimes, will go to prison. Of course they're going to lie.
Folks, that is Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. He was in Gaza working with UG Solutions on behalf of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which is a government, a joint U.S. and Israeli-backed aid initiative in Gaza. He's describing what would be, according to international law, a war crime, and that is the intentional killing of a non-combatant civilian. Lieutenant Aguilar, what was your status in Gaza legally as a security contractor? We just have about a minute. What was your status, legally speaking?
We entered the country of Israel, and therefore into Gaza, armed to the teeth with weaponry, on a tourist visa. We entered the country on a B2 tourist visa. $25, paid online, walk through the gate, scan your passport, you get a tourist B2 visa. We were there as tourists.
Folks, stay with us. We're going to talk about Lieutenant Aguilar's protests, his advocacy that he has engaged in since returning from Israel in June. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.